to Canadian Politics is Boring.
Are you ready? You're hitting the microphone with your hair. The microphone isn't. There we go. Just to warn you, this is being shot in 360, so Jesse will do silly things to distract me that is of no benefit to the podcast audience, that he forgets that this is primarily... Joe Rogan doesn't dance for his YouTube channel.
Well, he should.
He should. And he should also stop inviting Nazis on. You know, that's just my opinion.
I'm going to grab another bubbly.
We're recording.
You'll have to entertain the crew.
Okay, so how are you, audience? I'm great, thank you. Yeah. How was your week? Yeah. Do you have a problematic co-host on your podcast?
I do.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes Jesse can be very hard work. He just walks out of the room to go and get more carbonated water with mild flavouring. But that's a problem we all share, so. Oh, he's back.
Yay!
There we go. Oh, you just did that for the 360 camera, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. That was fun.
I did that for the camera. Just threw a cat at the wall.
Anyway, well done.
This episode. Oh, small talk.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I'm moving to a new office with work.
Oh yes, that's right.
This studio that we're in that I do love.
And coincidentally, it's the same building where I first learned to edit nonlinear digital editing machines. It was either Media Composer or Avid or Media 100, like 20 years ago. Yeah, that's true. Never mind, sir. Tell us about your building.
No, tell us more about edit systems of the late 90s. I'm sure the audience is thrilled.
Yep.
Anyway, it's okay. Yeah, so that's exciting.
That is exciting. I still think it's a small space. I think you should
be doing it. It's twice the size of this office. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm worried it's going to be too small. What, all the extra room might be smaller than the room we're in now? Me too. Even though I've been there with a tape measure to confirm the solid truth that is more than double the size. Yeah. I'm worried it's small too. Anyway, some of my problems. Moving to a smaller, bigger office. Anyway.
When are you moving?
Soon.
You've been saying that for months.
It takes time to negotiate things. Anyway, there won't be a hot tub.
Damn it.
There won't be a pinball machine.
I think there should at least be a hot tub.
There will be beer taps.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you drink beer.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You're going to have beer taps?
In the office, yeah.
So, like, everyone's just going to be drunk day long?
It's there for clients.
Uh-huh. At first. Right.
And but slowly then, like, we can turn into a bar.
Yeah, slowly. Yeah, so at first it's for clients, right? And then now and then someone's going to go on lunch break and eat in the office, and they're going to pour themselves a beer for lunch, and that'll be fine. And then they'll
But isn't that the kind of place you want to work?
Absolutely. But then I just see where this is going, like, 6 months down the road, where, like, it's one beer for lunch, and then other people are like, oh, a beer for lunch. That's not a bad idea. Yeah, not a bad idea. And then they join them, and then it's two beer for lunch, and then they have a beer after work, and then suddenly they're drinking during work, and then it's just a place to go and sloppily do work while you get fucking shit-faced every day, and then suddenly you're like the coolest company in town.
The resumes are flying through the door. I think in that scenario, you're assuming that nobody is professional and has self-control.
That is correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been to Halifax?
I live here.
Yes. And
anyone I think would just suddenly decide to John A. McDonald or beer taps. Wouldn't last long.
I see what you did there. Yeah, that was good. That was well done.
I'm going to John A. McDonald this beer. In which case, I mean, drink lots of it.
Yeah.
You're going to love the title of this episode.
Yeah, what do you got for us?
When Robots Tried to Steal the Election. That's what I decided to call it.
I'm really, really hoping you're talking about physical robots.
Like,
not
Terminator,
like
Terminator 2, yeah, the like Canadian version.
I'm hoping this isn't like bots on the internet, but like physical manifestations of, like, yeah, exactly, like Terminator.
I was making the Terminator.
Oh, I know.
A woman holds a fence and she gets incinerated by a nuclear bomb. We pretty much recreated the whole of Terminator then. So this was called the Robot Call Scandal, a.k.a. Robotgate, a.k.a. Robocon.
Wait, I think I might have heard about this. Maybe.
Robocon.
Oh, that was good. You want to do it in sync?
One, two, three.
Robocon. Jesus.
I need a drink, but I threw it. Oh, the wall's wet. The door is red. Anyway, I'm going to go lick the door. So in February 2012, Post Media News and the Ottawa Citizen reported that during the 2011 Canadian federal election, misleading phone calls directed voters to the wrong polling station in at least 14 ridings.
I think I did hear about this. Wow.
Robot calls. So I am a robot. You must go to a different polling station, human.
Did it work?
Message ends. Well, we'll get to that. So the calls, the fraudulent automated calls, were from a prepaid burner phone, like a drug dealer would use, or Tony Soprano.
Hold on, wait. These are, okay. All right, sure.
A burner phone, like a prepaid phone that you buy that you just throw away, like a cheap one.
Okay.
You can't download any good apps. It doesn't, you know.
Right.
It hasn't got like three cameras on it.
It's just
a burner phone. And it was registered to a man called Pierre Poutine. The perfect crime. I want to know who this Pierre Poutine is, but it's almost, yeah.
Yeah.
Of Separatist Street in Quebec. So I think that was a fake name.
Is Separatist Street real?
No.
Oh, okay.
In addition, Pierre Poutine also used the alias Pierre Jones of Pierre, and his email address was pierres1630@gmail.com, living in the fictional address in Quebec of Separatist Street.
Right. Okay.
And a transcript of the robocall, one was in Guelph, used during the election day to impersonate election Canadian officials, read, "This is an automated message from Elections Canada. Due to projected increase in voter turnout, your poll has been changed. Your new voting location is at the old Quebec Street Mall." And then again, it said, "Your new polling location is at the old Quebec Mall. If you have any questions, please call our hotline." And then they gave a number. "We apologize for any inconvenience this may cause." And then a French version in a woman's voice followed.
Okay, so what happens if you called the number?
I don't know. I don't know if that was a real number either.
Like, I really want to know what happens when you call the number.
More robots. Welcome, human. So, I am not a robot. I am a human. Like that. It's pretty convincing.
Click.
Yeah. Yeah. So, at 6 minutes past 11 that day, this was election day that this happened. So, there was an urgent call from an election officer who sent an email to a legal counsel, basically warning what was going on.
So this is the last day that you were able to vote.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, because like if it was done earlier on in the week.
No, it was done on the day of voting.
Right. Okay.
So another email was sent from another legal counsel to the chief electoral officer. And they said, basically the outcome was, this is far more serious and they've actually disrupted the voting process. So 281 people called back Pierre Poutine's cell phone. And a voice broadcasting expert contracted by Elections Canada estimated that a typical 1% callback rate, so of the 281 calls made, indicated that many thousands of people had been reached by this robot call, and probably resulted in a higher, even considering the nature of the robot calls, it was quite a high callback rate.
281 people called the number? So we said
281 called that number, the helpline. And what happened was then an affidavit filed, secured a search warrant, and reported that 7,760 call attempts were made.
Holy shit!
So the Commissioner of Elections Canada received 40,000 communications and complaints about the robot calls, but most of them weren't people who received robot calls. They were people who heard that they were robot calls and they wanted to complain that someone else had a robot call.
They're just upset that they didn't get one. They wanted to be part of the game.
They need to, you know, there's a big investigation going on. I know, let's flood their inbox with...
Yeah, that's just ridiculous.
With outrage and sympathy.
Outrage and sympathy.
So Liberal MP, Frank Flank, that's not a real name. His actual name is Frank.
Yep.
It's a French name. Oh, God. I'm sorry, French Canadians. And anyone who appreciates the pronunciation of a language correctly. Frank Valariot received a call. Let's get that over with. Frank received a call at his home notifying that Liberal supporters were being targeted. And it quickly emerged there was an extensive campaign to discourage Liberal supporters. In under an hour, 100 voters arrived at the phony voting location. And it shows that 150 to 200 voters in Guelph had showed up at the wrong location at the Quebec Street Mall.
How many?
150 to 200, and some wow. ripped up their voter ID cards in frustration.
Wow.
It's like, I can't vote here, then I'll never vote at all. Damn you, card. I'm going to take my anger out on this piece of paper. And he also noted that the voters who were targeted were voters who had indicated they would not vote for the Conservative Party when contacted by the Conservative Party. They were the ones told to go to the wrong station.
Of course.
Were targeted. This caused the opposition parties to allege that calls were were made as part of a campaign by the Conservative Party to intimidate supporters of other parties. Which, you know, if it looks like shit and it smells like shit, it tends to be shit. So
right.
you look at who's going to benefit from that. And
unless, and this is the thought that I just popped into my head. Okay. So 7,000 people were called. A few hundred were directed to the wrong place. Not even a few hundred. What,
150 to 200. But in a small, if you think on a local level, if that's a like a marginal seat.
Right.
That can make a difference.
Sure. But if you understood the statistics, let's say you're the mastermind. You're yeah. showing the world your pit stains and flexing your muscles at the same
you're talking
time.
About Pierre Poutine. Oh no, I'm scratching the top of my head. And stretching. I was just doing that. Stretching my back.
So here's my thought is
Pierre Poutine, the evil mastermind.
Yeah, what if Pierre Poutine, the evil mastermind, was a liberal? Okay. And he knew that yes, this would put a dent in liberal votes, but by and large, he was confident that that riding would still get enough votes for the liberals to win. And he just wanted to make a smear campaign for the conservatives when they eventually found out what they did.
Maybe. But that sounds like the ramblings of an insane conspiracy theorist.
I mean,
or is it? Okay. I want a t-shirt called "Who is Pierre Poutine?"
Oh, that's good.
Where on earth is Carmen Sandiego? It's kind of like that. So Rack 9 Inc., which doesn't sound like an evil corporation at all.
No.
Cyberdyne Industries. That's Arachnine Inc. who were a part, an organization or a company, sorry, that provided robocalls. Perfectly legal. Robocalls are used all the time saying, you know, to call, to dial people and say, please vote I'm aware of for me. This. And they were a company that did it. And apparently the system had been used to make these robocalls. But they apparently opened up all the information to share with Elections Canada for the investigation that happened, and they had to give a statement, and they were basically kind of put under the spotlight because the technology was the source of the calls. But they gave so much information to Elections Canada, they were able to work out where the calls were actually made from.
They really? They could figure it out?
Yeah. So
they were still burner phones. They just
yeah, but they also so the same IP address used to create the misleading calls. So they used an internet connection to make the calls.
Right. It'd be a lot easier. You don't want to do it manually.
The same IP address mm-hmm. was used within 4 minutes by a conservative campaign staff member to make legitimate Rack 9 calls.
Oh, wow.
So within 4 minutes of the fake calls, this staff member called Andrew Prescott? A staff member anyway was basically whoever made those calls, the legitimate ones, had also made the fake one within 4 minutes, or somebody else had, but it was very close right. to each other. And the IP address was assigned to a computer in the campaign headquarters of the Guelph Conservative candidate Marty Burke. So they also downloaded a list of telephone numbers from the Conservative Party's central database the same day that the Pierre Poutine account was created. And witnesses also recalled that Conservative campaign worker Michael Soner had discussed the extensive plans for a disinformation campaign, including sending identified non-Conservative voters to the wrong poll locations. Mm-hmm. But both Andrew Prescott and Michael Soner have repeatedly denied involvement.
Right, because it was a liberal mastermind who went to the location yeah. where these calls were being made, volunteered his time to make calls, had his laptop in his bag, connected to the internet while he went to the bathroom, and sent those calls out, and then quickly quit.
Exactly. Yep. So, and they also found that Andrew Prescott and Pierre Poutine had used the same computer in the middle of the night on the 1st to the 2nd of May within minutes of each other.
Thickens.
Without signing out in between.
How would this liberal mastermind get access to Andrew Prescott's personal computer in the middle of the night now? Now that's a good
question.
Maybe
he's wearing his skin. Maybe he killed the real Andrew Prescott.
Yep. I like that.
Like men in black.
That's true. And just because we can't disprove it means it's true.
Exactly. So, no, show me proof to disprove me or whatever.
I think we need a little dance break for our virtual reality watchers who have been.
I don't want a dance break. Well, you can dance and I'll just sit here looking at you uncomfortably. So for the podcast people, Jesse is doing what only be described as shit dancing.
Okay, I'm done.
There we go.
There you go.
Cool.
All
right.
All for you.
I cut him down with my harsh sarcasm. Anyway, November the 12th, November 2012, the Guelph Mercury reported that Burke's campaign manager, Ken Morgan, Marty Burke, whose campaign office where the computers have been sending robot calls, moved to Kuwait, changed his email, left no phone number, and refused to speak with Elections Canada.
Wow, he moved to Kuwait.
And just stopped. He stopped replying to emails. So, oh my God, he's vanished.
We'll never find him again. Who was this again?
Ken Morgan, who was the campaign manager.
For
Marty Burke. So what happened was, Michael Sona, who people had said had been saying, who was a junior campaign person.
Okay.
Basically took the rap for this.
So Not
any of the people.
Andrew Prescott.
The person who
sounds like he's like the guy behind this.
Well, he logged in using his account and then logged in as Pierre Poutine like within a few minutes of each other or at the same time, late one night. And then also that other Ken guy moves to Kuwait and refuses to reply to emails or speak to Election Canada.
It's a lot of suspicious activity happening here.
But it turns out the junior person in the office is the one who was the mastermind behind it all. No, it's not. That's just, I kind of feel like, so they, he spoke to CBC's Power and Politics in 2012 and he said he'd hoped that the Elections Canada investigation would have shown he wasn't involved. And he had to speak out. He was basically saying, I'm junior. And they just want me to take the rap for this because obviously it's a big deal.
So they blamed him.
I mean, in court, he was found guilty.
Oh, wow. That's what evidence?
With all the stuff we just discussed.
Yeah, but that's not on him.
Well, I know, but they can say it wasn't me who logged in. He had my login details. It was all circumstantial.
Really proof,
And he said, I think that this...
Oh, he's found guilty. What was his crime? What was his punishment?
What kind of punishment do you think he had?
Slap on the bottom.
A slap. a firm spank. So essentially, he was charged.
Get over here. Get over my knee.
With having willfully prevented or endeavored to prevent electors from voting an election. He was the only person to be charged with any crimes. And in August 2014, he was found guilty of one violation of the Elections Act. The trial judge concluded that it was unlikely that Sona acted alone. So although Sona was the only one who went down for it, the judge acknowledged that he probably didn't act alone. And he was sentenced to 9 months of imprisonment and 1 year of probation.
Jesus Christ.
And described Sona's actions as an affront to the electoral process.
But he didn't do it.
He was involved, but he was the only one who took the rap for it.
He was involved.
I guess he was involved. But he was the only person who took all the blame. But the judge said it was unlikely that he was the only person involved.
Right.
But it's not my job to find out who the rest were. I'm just a judge. What do I care? You're the only person in front of me, so you're going to take the rap.
Right. So he's in jail.
Yeah.
And he's got a new bunkmate. And the bunkmate's like, what are you in for? It's like, no, I didn't do it. Yeah, but none of us here did it. But really, what are you in for? I'm in for sending 181 people to the mall.
Sent him to the mall. Maybe the someone in the campaign office, maybe their wife or partner had just opened a new store, or like their son had just launched a business, or their grandparents had just invested the last of their money into a new juice bar, and they just wanted people to go there and spend money. So it wasn't about the election.
It was about the mall.
It was about launching a business
right
in the mall. Anyway.
When people get so frustrated when they can't vote that they'll rip up their voter cards and then order.
I need a smoothie.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. I need a smoothie and a haircut and some new pants. Anyway. So the Conservatives took a massive hit in their polls. I can
just picture this is what you say when you go to the mall. It just like burst through the mall doors. And be like, I need a smoothie. Put your hands on your hips.
I need a smoothie and a haircut
and some new pants.
And I will not leave until I have all three at the same time.
Sitting in the barber's chair, someone feeding you a smoothie, someone else trying to wiggle pants onto you.
Exactly. I'm in heaven. This is exactly what I wanted. So anyway, conservative support for Harper's government did take a big dent. It did affect them. People saw it as quite sleazy and that it was...
See? Liberal mastermind.
And then also, I suppose your conspiracy theory is...
Holding a little bit of water.
No, it's not holding any water. It's theory. Evidence holds water.
Right. All right,
theories
fine.
Hold nothing fine. Apart from hypothetical concepts. That's all I can say.
Fine.
Yeah. Anyway.
You were about to tell me that my theory was good.
I was going to tell you your theory was worrying more than anything else. And then there were lots of protests that broke out across Canada and a petition that received 37,000 signatures calling for a wider inquiry into the robocall scandal, which never happened.
Of course not. People lose attention.
So a young man ended up in prison for 9 months with 1 year of probation. Somebody moved to Kuwait and changed their email address and was never seen again. And a bunch of everybody else got off fine. And we're like, well, just don't try it for a while. So, or maybe robocalls are a bad idea.
Oh, in general.
Let's just create fake bots on Twitter instead.
There's a new company that's been advertised. I've been seeing them advertised on Instagram and I can't. Oh, my God. I want them to burn. Just burn. They're
that's
advertising.
Quite, that it's a lot they, of anger towards a new business.
Well, it's this new form of, what's it called? Telemarketing, where the technology allows them to call your phone without it ringing and to leave a voicemail without you knowing about it. So you pick up your phone, you've got a new voicemail already, and it's an advertisement from some company that paid them for a service. And any company can do this. You just pick up your phone one morning, you've got 25 different fucking voicemails from different companies, and you didn't know. Because your phone doesn't ring.
This is about because I don't listen to my voicemails anyway. If you're ever going to call me and leave me a voicemail message, don't bother because I don't listen. They automatically delete after 2 weeks.
I sent you some really nice voicemails.
Well, I never got them. I leave other people voicemail messages.
I know.
But I'm a hypocrite and that's it. So... How do you feel about the time robots tried to steal the election? When I say robots, I mean...
I'm sticking to my liberal mastermind theory.
Do you think it was the liberals who actually tried to con their own voters to not go to a polling booth?
Well, look at the end result.
A young man went to prison.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. But the conservative, the Harper government, and then someone moved to Kuwait and the Harper government got like a lot of flack for it. Like a lot of flack in the end.
It is. I mean...
That's my theory. I'm sticking to it.
I think Pierre Poutine moved to Kuwait.
Let me move my tinfoil hat a little bit to the left. I'm on camera. I have no time. Damn it.
There we go. Yeah, Pierre Poutine. Well, I guess we'll never know. Where on earth is Pierre Poutine? Jesse's doing a map. Right. I'm sorry, podcast audience. He's playing up for the camera and forgetting about the fact that you're only getting the sound. He was balancing an empty can on his head. And then did a visual ta-da with his hands.
It's very difficult to... Yeah, I've got a wide forehead, so not hard at all.
Exactly. So that's the end of this episode. Call to action is... This one's about... Well, Jesse's got an idea.
No, I'm enthusiastically pointing at you so that you can... I'm giving you...
This call to action.
I'm helping you.
Send some love to the world. Get a bag, a brown paper bag or a plastic bag.
I don't know if it was a girl.
Get a toothbrush, some toothpaste, some toiletries.
What?
Some snacks. Pack it all, and then find a homeless person and give it to them. That's the call to action.
That's nice. Here I was making fun of you.
Give them something nice. To something nice and useful so they can brush their teeth. They can, you know, have a snack or whatever. And maybe like, I don't know, a voucher for like... a coffee chain that you can buy vouchers for to get a hot drink.
That's quite sweet.
Don't worry about us. We're fine.
Yeah, we're fine.
Go and spend or just grab stuff in your house. You know, I've got like probably...
If you can't find
I go to Costco, so I buy like 10 packs of like, what's it called? Toothpaste at a time.
Toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
Tooth.
Tooth.
They're tooths.
So the call to action is be nice to someone who needs help more than us.
I like that. That's nice. Yeah, yeah. That'll do.
And rate us. I'm joking. But just be nice. Just go and be nice. What's it going to cost you to be nice?
I don't know. It depends on how much the bag
is. I'm saying this. I probably won't do it.
Yeah, but you're not going to do it. Right?
But if you're nicer than me, you should. So
that was fun. Thanks for teaching me about stuff and things.
Stuff and things.
Things and stuff. My favorite.
And I'm thinking that hopefully we'll have some. I like to do something. I know it's quite far away, months ahead. We should do something special for Canada Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So if any listeners have got ideas, whether it's a podcast episode that focuses on something or whether it's, I know it's months ahead, but we've got time to plan.
Yeah. Give us some ideas if you've got some ideas for Canada Day.
It's an event or a thing like a live stream anything, we'll
get your juices flowing, your creative juices flowing, and let us know.
If there's something you really want us to do.
Dance naked.
Not that. We're not Celtic warriors flapping about.
Druid warriors.
Druid warriors. No, Celtic warriors. But so if you would like to just think of something, I don't know.
Let us know. Send us an email at CanadianPoliticsIsBoring@gmail.com or just find us on Instagram or Twitter or something and let us know your ideas.
And be nice to people.
Be nice to people.
Yeah. Hug your neighbors. Ignore robots.
Mm-hmm.
And
go find a dog and pet it.
Close your eyes when you go to sleep because it's weird when people sleep with their eyes open.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
yeah, very much.
I think that's enough messaging.
I think so. Yeah.
There's a lot there to digest. So yeah. We'll give you a couple of hours to think about what we said.
That's good. Yeah, it's going to take a while. Okay. Thanks so much for sticking us in your ear holes. And my alarm is going off to signify that it's the end of the podcast. Excellent. Wow.
Yay!